This is a Dragon Blazer production.
Champions of the world,
Boomer
and Blaze.
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of the Boomer and Blaze Show. I'm Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
And let me tell you, what a week in wrestling, like we expected. But there's a lot to discuss, but I think Blaze already knows where I'm going here. I'm just going to go right to the elephant in the room before we get to all the wonderful pay-per-views and everything else. Let's get to Sunday night's media scrum after All Out, and let's talk about one CM Punk. Now, as you know, I'm a huge CM Punk fan. Always have been. I thought he was the best in the world. And so, the media scrum starts out, okay? And I cannot remember if this was the very first line out of Punk's mouth, but Punk actually said, "If any of you in the media believe the things that are being said and printed about me, fuck you. If you don't believe it, I apologize." So that's how he starts things, right?
That's fair.
So then we go into another 20-minute rant about Colt Cabana.
Okay, that's a little weird.
Okay, but he's using his real name, so it's obviously a shoot. I want to say on a quick side note, and if you guys don't know, there's a long history between these two guys. They were best friends. They were roommates at one point in their life. And at one point when Colt Cabana was not a big star, and Punk was, Punk helped him out. You know, Punk was feeding him. Punk was helping paying his bills and all that. And then they had some kind of whatever disagreement and blowout. Let me tell you this, though, CM Punk. Nobody gives a fuck anymore. Nobody cares. Colt Cabana's never said one thing about Punk coming to AEW. He's not throwing trash on the internet, so I don't understand why. If you go back and watch all these medias with Punk, he always has to talk about this Colt Cabana thing.
It sounds like Punk cares.
Right. But this time, he got so deep, he's like, "I have every receipt, I have every invoice, and he's not once tried to pay me back." So we just get this life story about this personal grudge with Colt Cabana. And then he transitions from this thing with Colt Cabana into a promo that Hangman Adam Page cut a couple weeks ago on Dynamite. I will not quote Hangman's promo because I can't remember it, but Hangman Adam Page went off script and went into business for himself. Oh. And he said how he felt about Punk coming in, Punk acting like he was better than everybody else, Punk taking spots, blah, 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 blah. Does any of this sound familiar, Blaze? A wrestler going into business for themselves, taking shots at everybody? Didn't somebody else do that at one time?
No.
No? By the way, he's crying about this. So we're halfway through this, and I'm already like, so Punk, this whole thing is going to be about your ego and the fact that you can't handle what people have to say about you. This is what this whole thing is going to be, and it's exactly what it was. After he's done crying about the promo from Hangman Adam Page, then he goes on to say, and the EVPs of this company, the Bucks and Omega, don't even know what they're doing and can't handle these situations. It should have never happened. So, he's now shit on Colt Cabana. He has shit on Hangman Page. He's shit on the EVPs of AEW. And the whole time, Tony Khan's sitting beside him looking like a kid at his dad when he's yelling at like somebody at school or something. Like, "Go, Daddy, go." This is how this is going. And Tony Khan is just sitting there, not doing anything. Then Punk goes into this thing about a lawsuit that I don't know about. And he's talking about this lawyer. And again, he's throwing these F-bombs. And Tony Khan tried to say something. And Punk was like, "Tony Khan doesn't have to say anything. This doesn't have anything to do with him. He doesn't have to say a word." So then he says some more, talks some more shit about Omega and the Bucks, and then he's like, and if anybody, oh, by the way, he's also like, "AEW was nothing before I came. Nobody draws money except for me. I'm the star of the show." So he's now shit on the EVPs, Colt Cabana, your entire locker room. Oh, and by the way, Tony Khan, he shit on you because he said your EVPs do not know what they're doing.
What exactly do you mean by EVP?
Oh, I apologize. So Kenny Omega and the Bucks are actually executive vice presidents. They actually have a position. Cody was also.
Okay.
And so they are actually technically, in a way, they're Punk's bosses. They do have power. They have creative control. Now, I've never thought this was a good idea. Never. WCW used to do this. No active wrestler should be in any kind of position of power. So Punk's basically saying, this whole place sucked till I came, and the people you put in power, they suck too. And then he proceeds to say, and if anyone back there has a problem with me, you know where to find me. Come find me. Let's do this. Okay? You have to watch this. Maybe it's not coming across with me explaining it, but all this whole thing was an ego trip. What you're saying is, you can't handle anybody talking shit about you, but it's fine if you do it. And you're crying about it. And you're saying you're better than everyone there. Guess what, Punk? AEW started without you.
In fairness, Punk has been saying he's better than everyone for a long
time. But see, you have to... Okay, here's what happened, in my opinion.
In the world?
Wrestling's a work. Wrestling is a work, and sometimes guys go off script and they want to shoot. And they want to be real. Whatever. But the problem is Punk's ego got the best of him, and you're standing up there as Phillip Brooks shitting all over everything, and Tony Khan's just sitting there like he doesn't know what the hell is going on. If this happened in WWE, that press conference would have got cut the hell off.
Oh, yeah.
Vince McMahon or Triple H would not have let Punk sit there and talk like that. You have to listen to it for it to come across how egotistical it was. This was different. This wasn't CM Punk saying he was the best in the world. This was Phillip Brooks sitting up there saying, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I'm the only thing keeping this going, and I'm the best fucking thing here. There's a difference. Do you know what I mean?
Phillip Brooks is... No, just fucking...
I could handle CM Punk shooting a promo. That's not what this was. This was Phillip Brooks saying, they don't like me and they're talking shit about me and I'm not happy about it. And Tony Khan sat there the whole time and didn't do a damn thing. This made to me, sorry Tony, made Tony Khan look like a pussy and not like a boss at all. Hmm. Not like a boss at all. I mean, I was talking to Blaze the days that this happened. Like, I was a huge CM Punk fan. I don't think I am anymore.
I think what CM Punk is doing, I don't think is... We're not talking to the levels of, you know, what Chris Benoit did.
We're not.
So I feel like it's a little easier for me to... Now, I can say I don't like Phillip Brooks, but I can enjoy... I think I can separate them enough where I could still say that I enjoy the character of CM Punk. But at the same time, because of Phillip Brooks and what he just did, I also understand, I think we're done with CM Punk.
Listen.
I think CM Punk is done. I think that he's going to get fired.
Well, if he doesn't, let's talk about the backstage incident real quick, and then I'll mention Dynamite, because I got a few more things to say, but... I have some inside sources, and both sides of the story, whether it comes from Kenny Omega and the Bucks or Punk side, the only difference between the stories here is the Young Bucks say they didn't kick the door in. But the story is, afterwards, the Bucks were like, okay, you want us to find you? We're going to come find you. And they go banging on the locker room door. The first story said no one answered, so they kicked the door in, and Punk started throwing punches. Both sides of the story say they got in the locker room, Punk started throwing punches. So they got in a big scruffle, whatever. Ace Steele, if you don't know, is a friend of Punk's and he's a producer. He was on TV a couple weeks ago. He's the guy that came out and talked Punk into taking the rematch, whatever. He's in the locker room, too. This man bit Kenny Omega. He bit him. Look, they thought Larry was in there. Punk's dog Larry was in there. They thought Larry did it. Nope. Ace Steele bit Kenny Omega. He threw a chair. There were at least six guys involved. Now, the backstage brawl necessarily, right or wrong, doesn't bother me itself, because you said if you want some, come get some. By the way, Punk's injured now. He legit got his ass kicked. Let's just get that out there.
I heard the injury happened in the match.
Yeah.
I heard he was injured in the match. So he's already injured when that happened, according to my source,
yeah,
which is just my best friend.
So, but when you break this all down, you know... I think Punk's ego got the best of him. But here's another problem, because we go back to the EVP thing. Technically, because they are in a power position, to me, the Bucks and Omega, if you don't want to fire them, they should be fired from, not as performers, but they should be fired from their positions as executives. because you shouldn't have charged the locker room like that. And technically, Punk punched a boss. Technically.
Yeah.
And he did swing first.
Right.
I'm done with Punk. You know, and last night all I'm doing is waiting for Dynamite. I'm messaging Blaze, and then I see the promo. You know, Tony Khan will address the title situation. So I'm waiting and waiting. And Dynamite kicks off, and I'm like, Tony's got to kick this show off. It's got to be. And so here we go, and they talk about the opening, and the first thing they want to talk about is the pay-per-view, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then it's, now let's hear from Tony Khan, and it's a video. It's a video. Maybe this bothered me too much. I don't think it bothered you as much, Blaze, but wrestling is different now, and the internet's out there, and fans are smart, and everybody knows this happened. As soon as this video started, everyone was booing Tony Khan before he could even get a word out, and I feel they were mad because he wasn't there. I feel like even if you were not going to fire Punk, or even if you were not going to actually address the situation, I feel Tony Khan should have been there in person. After the shit came out about Vince, he immediately was on Friday Night SmackDown, and all he did was come out and say, us, them, together, forever, whatever, but at least he addressed the crowd. I feel like Tony Khan should have been there, in my opinion.
Right.
I feel if Tony Khan doesn't fire CM Punk, I feel that it doesn't set an example. If you don't fire CM Punk, then you're showing that guys can do whatever they want in the company and it doesn't matter. If you don't fire CM Punk, you look like a bitch because he cut your balls off at a press conference and you did nothing about it. Now, to me, this is what it is. Tony Khan has to decide, are you a boss or are you a wrestling fan? Because I know the little fanboy Tony Khan loves Punk, and we all did. But are you a fan, or are you the boss of this company? That's my opinion. You have to fire Punk.
Why can't he be both?
You gotta fire Punk, don't you? What do you want?
I agree.
I read today that one of the reasons, it was an article, I shared it on our Facebook page, by the way, and it said one of the reasons they shouldn't fire him is, what if WWE takes him back? Well, first of all, I don't see that happen.
I've heard Triple H cannot stand.
Even if he Punk. Did... This again is the example, and I know AEW's young. This shit would have got cut off, and he would have been fired the next day. Like, this press conference wouldn't have even happened. And Vince McMahon or Triple H or somebody would have came out. The first time Punk left, they did address it. They fibbed a little and said he left. He walked out, whatever, which isn't totally the whole story, but at least they addressed it. Tony Khan's just like, I'm stripping all the belts because of an incident, and we're going to have a tournament and crown new champions and blah, 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 blah. And that was it. Punk's got to go. Phillip Brooks, no one's bigger than their job. Not just in wrestling, in anywhere. No one is bigger than the job they do. You are not bigger than AEW. You are not bigger than wrestling. Wrestling went on without Hulk Hogan. Wrestling went on without The Rock. Wrestling went on without John Cena. I could name 500 million guys. The sport is bigger than you. Football goes on without superstars. Wrestling goes on without superstars. Baseball goes on. You are not bigger than AEW. And Phillip Brooks, you need to check your fucking attitude and your ego.
Fair enough.
That was more mild than I thought it was going to go. I tell you, I was a very raged fan. Very raged. You haven't seen the media thing yet, right? So, I mean, I explained it, but you have to watch it because you'll see what I'm saying. Again, if it would have been Punk talking shit, it would have been different. But this was Phillip Brooks just talking it. No one cares about Colt Cabana anymore. And if you can't handle people talking bad about you, then you're not, you can't be in this job.
I don't get where, like, he literally just won the title.
Yeah, and you're bitching.
He just became the champion, the top guy in AEW, and he felt like now's the time
to bitch about Colt.
I don't even care about Colt.
Bitch Cabana. About Hangman doing
the
pipe
he's
bomb.
He's been bitching about Colt Cabana for years,
and no one cares, Phillip. Nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about that part. It's the fact that he felt the need to attack everybody at AEW.
Yes, and my friend that I, you know, get some stuff from, he said that, you know, the one big no-no, too, was you don't drag locker room drama out in the public like that.
Well, yeah, the kayfabe.
Hey, wrestling's a work. Phillip Brooks, wrestling's a work. This wasn't an actual, you acted like you just got done boxing on HBO. It sure wasn't UFC because you never had an interview because you got your ass kicked every time. But yeah. The example of this is they did one for Clash of the Castle, which they don't normally do. And did you see that one?
No.
Okay, well, Roman was at that press conference. You know what he did? He sat there. He sat there in silence for several minutes. And then he said to the reporter, acknowledge me. The reporter said, I do, and he walked away. Because that's a fucking kayfabe press conference. That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do. How many times, how did Roman Reigns handle it when people talk shit about him and Boot? He's the number one top dog in the business now. How many years was he getting shoved down throats and people were booing him and talking shit? John Cena, same way, and what'd they do? You know how you shut him up? You get out there and prove you're the best in the fucking world.
So what we're saying is be a company man and suck up to your boss.
Shut the fuck up and do your job.
Give head to get ahead. That is exactly what Boomer is saying right now.
He's trying to mellow me out and I don't like it. Shut the fuck up and do your job. And what I told Blaze was this, and think about this, CM Punk turned into exactly what he hated. He was on the best WWF title run in a long time, WWE whatever, excuse me. And why did he get mad? He left because of the staph infection, sure, but he started getting pissed when The Rock came back and took the title from him. Because these old guys come back and they think they should be in the top spot. And then they take spots from all the young guys. And then we're not in the spotlight anymore. Well, guess what? That's just what you fucking are. That's just what you did. Hangman was literally you, and you were The Rock, and now you're pissed because he did the same shit you did when you were young. He got all the way to the top just to do the same shit to everybody else that got done to him. You're supposed to be there to elevate. I'm really angry. We're going to have a 4-hour show if I don't shut the hell up. Just fire Punk and get it over with. I think I'm done venting now.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you.
I
agree with you. I haven't watched what Punk said.
He said AEW sucks and everyone there sucks too. How long have they been a company now? 3 years?
It's been about 3 or 4 years.
I think they had a lot of shows before you got there, Punk. I'm just saying.
Well, we were reviewing AEW pay-per-views. I think it was going on for 2 years in 2000 when I started podcasting. Yeah. So,
man, what happened when CM Punk left WWE? Oh, that's right. They're still the biggest fucking wrestling company in the world. Quit being so cocky. Poor Punk can't hit it. You know what? I don't care what anybody says about me. I hope I get some hate mail. I don't care. Tony Khan, shit or get off the pot. Fire Punk. Grow some balls. Save a couple million dollars.
Now, this is from someone who is a huge CM Punk fan.
Matter of fact, we're not on video.
In fact, so am I.
We're not on video, but you see that? You see that I have a Cobra tattoo?
Yeah.
I didn't get this because I'm a G.I. Joe fan, even though it's from G.I. Joe. I got it because Punk had one. This was actually a tattoo I got as a tribute.
So, you're in a cult. And
yes. That's not my only wrestling tattoo, by the way, but that's a whole other episode. So, yeah, I was a huge Punk fan, but not anymore. I have enough for both of us. Don't worry. All right. So now that I've vented my anger about Punk, shall we move on? Should we talk about some other wrestling? I know you got, like, you were lucky enough to see All Out. Would you? Like
I did
to...
not.
You did not. I thought you were going to watch it.
I did not. We were going to. We found. My friend decided not to order it.
Okay.
And a couple of our friends. I ended up going to my friend's house and playing Destiny on 2 TVs, which is what I could have done here.
But you were with friends,
but we
so it's
had
fine.
Fun. I got to be a director for a TikTok for Destiny, so that was fun.
Hey.
And I had a blast.
You know what? You're a busy guy. I get it.
I had a blast.
I get it.
But yeah,
fine.
We started. They were taking a while to start get on. So we did watch a little bit, but it was literally just the Jade match.
Okay.
And she came out wearing a, with some really bad green makeup. I'm assuming because of She-Hulk. I'm guessing she was doing a
like
She-Hulk inspired.
Kinda, yeah, doing some cosplay.
Doing some cosplay. Okay. And, which, I mean, she's good and all, but the makeup was not great. It didn't seem like
Jade is, though, by the way. Jade is the real deal. I do believe
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. I have no issues with Jade.
And this streak of hers is way better than Goldberg. I'm just going to say.
Okay.
Because she's actually wrestles matches that are longer than 30 seconds. And they don't inflate the number. Like, it goes up 40 every week. Now 220-0, you know. So, well, we won't talk about a lot too much.
Goldberg, they were adding all the house shows he did.
Oh, they were adding, like, Tony Schiavone's like, I don't know, they just gave us a new number all the time and we read that shit. It was inflated slightly. Jade's is actually legit. They are keeping track of it, but.
That's one of the things I've always loved about AEW.
Oh, yeah, the records and everything.
The records, they keep the records and they keep,
the rankings.
One thing I love, I mean, the one reason I love fantasy football
You're a stat
and
guy.
Football, I love stats.
I'm a stat guy, too, like believe stats. It or not. I'm the same way. I actually said I probably could have done that if I would have put some effort into it. I
like
been
playing
a stat
the baseball games and the football games, and I'm checking those stats all the time.
I'm actually surprised.
I'm focused
I'm such
on the sacks.
I'm such a stat nerd, I'm surprised I don't really play fantasy football like I should, but...
I love it.
Yeah, I'm into the stats.
Football
too,
just started. Is starting tonight, and we decided to do a podcast.
Yeah, he's like, listen, man, we got
to
record a different day.
We need to talk about a different day. I'm like, well, do today. We already had this plan, but I just realized football starts today, and we're going to miss it. So.
Plus, I said I'd have an aneurysm if I didn't get to fucking talk about punk.
I apologize if you hear any background noise when I put this game on my phone. I love football, man.
Listen, it's that time of the year we're busy, okay? It's not like wrestling's all we watch and all we know. Football's a big deal, right? It's
football America's, is a big
football's
deal.
Football's America's sport. I don't care what anybody else says, okay? It is. That's just the way it is. But anyway.
I mean, look at football stadiums. Look at... Well, you know what? I'm going to defend my... defend against my own argument here.
Okay.
I was about to say, look at football stadiums. Look at baseball stadiums. Here's the difference, though, and I'll give this to baseball, or not give it to baseball.
We can give it baseball shit.
Football has 17 weeks, 17 games for each team, or actually 18 now, but baseball has 160 games.
537 million games, yeah.
So I understand why they don't. Sell out stadiums every game.
Yeah, it's impossible.
There's so many games. Yeah. Like, why?
I don't understand why we still play that.
That's
many.
My
I
biggest
really
problem with baseball. I like baseball. I love baseball.
I like baseball, too.
It's my second favorite sport.
I prefer to be there live. I prefer to watch one live. But the thing is, in this world, with all this content and everything, baseball's still kind of behind on all.
Yeah.
First of all, why can't we shorten the seasons? What is the logic behind all these games?
I still don't know.
You know, why do you have to play three? It's how many
like,
is it actually?
It's 160.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm pretty sure it's 160.
I thought it was
basketball
a little higher.
Has like 88.
Yeah.
And I think baseball, it's either 160 or it's around 160. But, yeah, there's so many games. Like,
how did football be the only one that was like, listen, sports are tough and we don't want everybody hurt every fucking week.
In
so
fairness,
we're not gonna.
Football is the most dangerous one out of the three.
It is, but they're all like, and basketball is rough on the knees and the legs. And
I'm not saying basketball isn't rough.
Oh, I mean, the roughest sport is football, hands down. It's full contact.
Football literally.
I mean,
like every play, someone's being
trying to
slammed
kill somebody, yes.
to the ground.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the biggest reason there's less. But for me, it's so much easier to follow. I just need to watch one game a week. I mean, I watch like a lot of games a week. But to follow my team, Hooday, go Bengals.
Go Bengals.
To follow my team, I just have to make sure I watch them once a week.
Yeah.
You know, once a week I get to watch a game. Baseball, if you want to follow that shit, you got to watch it like six times a week.
Did you see the game last night? What they played again? I've watched them every fucking day this week.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't see it last night.
There's too many. But it's a great sport.
There's not enough Budweiser.
I do love me some baseball. It's just
some, not all. We don't need. It's a lot.
If they've made baseball maybe twice a week, down from six days a week, if every team played like twice a week, and we shorten the seasons majorly, I would probably watch every game.
People
but when
like
there's
it,
so yeah. many, it's just like, why? Like, this small game doesn't mean crap. Wait, what am I doing? Doesn't mean shit.
Yeah. He forgot.
I forgot. This is an explicit podcast. Fuck this shit.
Fuck yeah. I couldn't wait to get on here. Like, fuck you, punk. Fuck you. I was hurt. My childhood was crushed. He crushed my childhood twice. Fucker.
Punk?
Punk.
First your child.
Look, well, not my childhood, my adulthood. But I'm a big fucking child.
Wait a minute.
He's like, you're fucking 42. Like, shut up.
Punk came out well after our childhood.
I'm a big
When we were kids, we were dealing with Hulk Hogan. A little bit of DX around the end of
but
our childhood.
You know how it is, though. I know I'm older, but yeah. Look, the first time I had a little bit more because I knew about the staph infection and all that. But still, I was like, damn, now I'm just like, go punk. We don't need you.
Oh, I love punk too, and it's very disappointing.
It is.
It's disappointing, but is it really that surprising? I mean, punk has had a history There's reason why people like Rage can't stand Punk.
Can't stand him. See, I think when the WWE thing was going down, I did hear a lot about, like I said, I heard he bitched about The Rock and blah, 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 and losing to The Undertaker and all this stuff. Which, by the way, I thought he should have beat him, but that's a whole other story. I thought it would have been perfect. But anyway, I heard that, but when I knew it came down to they were making him fight injured and with infection, the doctors were clearing him away.
Well, we had plenty of reasons to be okay with it. But there's a lot of people that can't stand Punk
because this time
he's always been a little too cocky.
What the hell did he have to complain about this time?
I don't know.
A fucking thing. Tony Khan paid you a bunch of money. He said you could say what you wanted. When you first came, you were wrestling a bunch of undercard younger guys and squashing the shit out of them every week. You got put on pay-per-views right away. Like, what the hell do you have to bitch about? Because Hangman said he can't stand you? Why do you give a fuck if Hangman can't stand you? You're a way bigger star than Hangman, Adam Page.
I don't know.
I'm just fed up with Punk.
All right. Well.
Oh, jeez.
Is there anything specific you want to... We've been talking for 25 minutes
because I was ranting about... Look, yeah. So we'll just touch on Clash of the Castle for 1 second because I did watch it so I could...
Okay, cool.
Right now, the best match I've seen this year, and I can't believe I'm about to say this about the WWE, but Sheamus versus... I always mess his name up.
I heard that match was fantastic.
I still call him Walter. His name's Gunther now or something. That match... I hurt watching that damn match, man.
I heard that match was amazing.
And I don't even watch WWE
anymore. Stole the show. I heard it stole the show.
It was old school. It was rough. Everything was believable. It was a hell of a match. My hat's off to Walter, who's made the Intercontinental title relevant again. It finally matters again. And then the only other thing I would address is the head of the table. I only had one issue with this match. Listen, Reigns' run is something we haven't seen in a long time. But I feel like Drew should have won this match. Even if it wasn't the title, I felt like Drew should have won. And it should have been a fucking disqualification. It's that... When you pull the ref out of the fucking ring, it's a DQ. I don't know why the match didn't end there.
Oh.
Sanoa, Sanuka, whatever the other Uso's name is. The other Uso shows up from NXT. I don't know his name. Right, and he had a hood on and stuff. But he pulls the fucking ref out right when he's counting Roman's shoulders down. But the match still goes on.
See, I found it interesting because you mentioned, I think, on the last podcast that you're a little sick of Roman, and that every match you know he's going to win, so it's not entertaining. However, my friend was messaging, we were talking about the Roman Reigns. He thought for sure that this match was primed for Drew McIntyre to win. They were at England. Clash of the Castle.
They gave him his old badass entrance music back that we haven't heard since Chosen One.
He thought for sure that was his prediction.
They made it look that way.
It looked like he was going to win. He ended up loving the end. He loved how everything happened. But he predicted, he thought Drew was winning this match.
I think everybody did. And I just think that a DQ or something would have been, letting him win would have been better. He got distracted, and when he turned around, there was Roman in his spear, and it was over. So, there you go. All hail, he's still the head of the table.
Acknowledge me.
Oh, but real quick, I just wanted to say on a side note, if you didn't watch Dynamite after the Tony Khan thing, didn't solve anything, MJF came out, saved the show, and it was great. It was great.
MJF, strap
the fucking rocket on this man.
I think he's one of the best... he was one of the best heels in the business.
He's the best heel today.
He is fantastic.
And he came out and he gave this fucking baby face promo.
He heels on... Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and then Moxley comes out and stops it and is like, no one buying this shit.
Nobody's buying this.
But dude, not only did he go full heel, he's still playing. He still played. None of this matters. It's free agent, you know, the 2024. He's still playing the I'm going to be a free agent thing. He was like, maybe I'll go work for the only con that matters in wrestling. Like, he's still throwing WWF shit out there, so I love it.
I love MJF.
MJF, John Moxley saved the show. Their two promos saved Dynamite, so.
Yeah, I think MJF is the best heel. I have him on followed on my Twitter.
Oh yeah, because
his tweets are great.
And the fact that his parents are wearing they can't stand him either and shit. It's great. MJF's the best thing.
I love that his parents are also part of the work. It's great. It is great. It is fantastic.
All right,
he's fantastic. But let's get started.
Yeah, let's quit
talking. WrestleMania
11.
11.
He forgot for a minute.
WrestleMania 11. 1995.
Yes. All right, so we start at WrestleMania with a flashback of all the WrestleManias prior to this, you know, this opening package, but every one of them is just focusing on all the celebrities that have been at WrestleMania.
Nothing says I'm going to be a good WrestleMania like focusing on all the non-wrestlers there.
Yes, look at every non-wrestler we've had over the past few years.
That's how we want to start.
And then they proceed to tell us all the non-wrestlers who they're going to have this year as well. So, that was entertaining.
That's one word for it.
And then we get the singing of America the Beautiful, right?
America the Beautiful.
America the Beautiful. I feel like a big ass. So we're watching this and I'm like, ooh, ow, that's a little rough. The singing's a little rough. Sounds kind of bad. And I'm like, but you can tell the person's blind, so it's not a big deal. But I'm talking about how horrible it is. And then Blaze is over here like, hey, see those videos? It's for the Special Olympics.
Yeah, it's...
I'm the asshole. But it was rough, but they knew all the words. It's fine.
I mean, the words were known. It was...
I didn't even have to say anything, but I was just... I felt a little bit like an asshole after. I was like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have talked about
that
shit.
I want to say something, but then I would be the asshole.
But you are an asshole, right?
Oh, I mean, good point. So it sounded like the person that sang Tiptoe Through the Tulips trying to sing
Tiny
America
Tim.
The Beautiful.
Tim. That's a comment.
Tiny Tim.
Sound like Tiny Tim. There, you saved that. You saved that segment. Thank you.
Yeah. Which I love Tiptoe Through the Tulips, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
never
great.
Thought I would need to see Tiny Tim singing America the Beautiful, though.
No, I don't think anybody was like, you know what would be really good to kick off WrestleMania?
Yeah, no.
So, anyway, before we get to our first match, which was a doozy, real quick, here's a little backstage info for you. Like, so the night before WrestleMania 11, Vince sent out a memo to all the wrestlers that said there was going to be meeting Sunday morning before the event, which of course kept the boys from going out and partying. So the next morning they all show up for this meeting and Vince isn't even there. J.J. Dillon's there, who worked for them at the time, and he comes in and he goes, guys, Vince isn't coming. He just wanted to wish you all good luck. Vince lied about a meeting to keep the guys from partying because he didn't want anybody to miss WrestleMania. That's pretty genius.
They didn't have enough good
The roster
wrestling.
Is still so thin right now, yes.
Well, yes.
For example,
let's talk about our first match.
So in our first match, we get the Allied Powers, the newly formed team of the British Bulldog and the All-American Lex Luger. That way, everything is red, white, and blue on everybody.
Yes.
Here comes our powerhouse team to what I refer to as patriotic porn music.
Yes, yes.
Because they tried to, like, remix Bulldog and Luger's music, and yeah, so they come out, and I'm like, okay, you know, here's two big stars. Then their opponents come out, and who was it, Blaze? Your favorite Hall of Fame tag team?
The Blues Brothers. No. Oh my gosh, it was the Blues Brothers from Saturday Night Live!
That would have been better.
Damn straight it would have been better.
It was the Blue Brothers with cousin Zebekiah. Uncle Zebekiah?
I'm sure they're related and probably
Zebekiah was
sex.
With
them.
So this, folks, was the opening match of WrestleMania. The fucking Blue Brothers against Davey Boy and Luger.
They're called the Blue Brothers. There's not an inch of blue on them. There's no blue.
Plus, it's the great fact that they tried to play these guys off as twins, and literally during the whole match, nobody even gave a fuck. Vince and Jerry are
Vince
both just
did
like
not give
the
a
twins.
Shit which one was which.
Those guys. It's one of them. Like,
hey, he tagged the other one.
The other one.
This literal, like, what is said in this match?
So generic. Like, oh my, this was what a way to kick
Vince
off.
Vince is like, I don't even care.
What
just
the fuck was I
thinking?
Get
them to beat them. Quick.
I'm surprised the crowd wasn't totally dead. Anytime Davey Boy or Luger attempted a move, which, oh my gosh. So they were doing like this double suplex. They were both suplexing one of the Blue Brothers, and was it Luger that crashed his guy onto Davey Boy? Like, one of them suplexed the Blue Brother on their partner.
Oh. Oh, that's nothing. Nothing compared to them getting British Bulldog in the corner, and those are the laziest fucking kicks I have ever seen.
What do you mean? Those kicks were so... Jesus, like, literally, I don't even know how to put it in words.
He was just trying to touch his balls. That's all that was happening there.
And whichever Blue Brother it was so lazy, like, there wasn't even any, no noise either. These kicks weren't only weak. There was no nothing.
I would fire them after this match. The wrestling was so poor by the Blues Brothers.
We wish the Blues Brothers would have been more entertaining, I'm telling you. And then there's a point later on in the match where it's almost over or whatever, right? And Luger nails his forearm. No one gets up from the steel plate. That can't happen. So Luger hits him, right? And then whatever causes the ref to get distracted. And the Blue Brother rolls out of the ring. The other one comes in. And Vince points this out on the fucking commentary. Or Jerry does. One of them say, oh, they just pulled a switcheroo. And then 30 seconds later, Vince is like, how did he kick out? No one kicks out of that. You just pointed out the fact
you know how
that it wasn't the
out.
Fucking twin that took the arm, Vince, and
all
I was like,
I'm
how did he
do
that?
All I'm saying is, if he was going to kick out, how the hell was he with it enough to roll out?
That move knocks everybody out. Did he roll out on his own, or did his brother pull him out? I don't know. I was just over here.
I'm guessing it had to have been the brother.
Is this shit over with yet or not?
I'm sorry. In the future, we'll get some good twin action, and that's with the Usos.
Exactly.
Or Usos is a good
does
twin
Pamela
tag
Anderson
team.
Have a sister? I don't know. Anyway, does Pam have a sister? That could be twin action. Is there two Pamela Andersons? That would be.
Well, there's twin action, but. Oh, you mean two different people?
Well,
two people. Never mind.
Twins
never
may
mind.
Work, but anyway, the Pam twins. Is on this show. We're going to get to that too.
She is on the show.
She is. She is the main event in my book.
Actually, from what I heard, the main event is she is probably, that's probably true.
That's
pretty accurate. She might be the best thing on here.
And then when this match finally ended, we got a sunset flip from Davey Boy that he almost killed himself. Was it a sunset flip? I think that's what the
well,
fuck
all
that.
The coke kept him from dying. The coke saved him.
This is back when apparently Vince didn't know you couldn't take four guys that didn't actually know how to wrestle and put them in a match together. Like, I'm going to take two of my best wrestlers, Luger and Bulldog Bullshit, and put them with some guys that don't know what they're doing. That should be great.
At least he knew... well, it depends on how you look at the kickoff of the show. He got it out of the way quick, but I would think that you'd want your kickoff match to be...
You wanted to amp your
match.
Crowd up. That's what I said. This should have been like the popcorn match. You know, fourth or fifth match in to go to the bathroom. That's
Vince
what
was
this...
hoping the fact that the patriotic part of it would be enough.
He was hoping that...
We got America!
He was hoping the Allied Powers, but the crowd actually didn't boo. They were into it. I guess it worked.
Well,
I mean, we didn't like it, but I guess at that time...
No, it was bad.
It was horrible. It sucked dick, but I mean...
So, how many dicks did this suck? Give me your... give me your
we gotta
rating.
Rank this, don't we?
Your
oh
rating.
My gosh. This sucked so many dicks.
I'm giving it half a dick.
Wow.
Half a dick is how good this match was.
Because there were two stars in it, I'm gonna give it one Uncle Zebekiah.
Half a dick, that's all it deserves.
Half a dick. We got a dick and a half for match one. That's great. Thank God it's over.
All right. Let's go down to match two. I'm sure this will be better.
It's got
to
be. All right. So before our next match, we get a backstage segment with a celebrity to interview celebrities, and there's no audio. You can't hear shit. So Vince says, oh, we're having some technical difficulties, so... We'll go back to the ring, whatever. And
this is where John Cena came up with his slogan. He's like, "You can't hear me. Wait. You can't see me. I'll just change the sense."
Yeah,
sorry,
and
continue.
Like, and like we forgot to mention, after the last match, they went to interview Uncle Zebekiah or whatever the fuck his name was, and they couldn't even put a light on the guy. Like Jim
no,
Ross,
no spotlight.
Jim Ross is in the dark. Like, how do you feel about what just happened? So they couldn't do that segment. They shoot back to the arena, and they're still playing the Allied Powers music. I'm just like, man, these people are probably ready to leave already.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the backstage people also took steroids, and these are all scrubs.
They're all just... Everybody went out except the wrestlers. He should have told the producers and the backstage people they weren't allowed to go out before it either.
Yeah.
So For our next match, though, the music hits, and who is it? It's good old J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T-T, the Intercontinental Champion Jeff Jarrett, defending the title against Razor Ramon in a rematch from the Royal Rumble. And remember, we have more audio problems after Jarrett comes out. They go, let's go back to Razor and the Kid, and you can't hear shit again.
Negative.
Like, the speaker comes on right at the end of the Kid talking, and Vince is like, just cuts it off. Like,
just cut it.
That's it. Let's go to the ring.
Cut that.
And, of course, I noticed right away that when Jarrett came out, we had the press. The press was at ringside because this is Jeff Jarrett, the Intercontinental Champion and the greatest country music performer in the world. Apparently.
Sure.
But this time the Kid is with Razor. That way we can even the score. We got the roadie with Jeff Jarrett and the Kid comes out with Razor. In a kimono. For whatever reason. And Razor just rushes the ring. Like immediately. He throws his vests off. He goes through the reporters and he rushes into the ring and he just starts attacking Jarrett right away. And the Kid comes in and attacks the roadie. They knock them both out of the ring. The music isn't playing. There has already been fighting, and after they clear the ring, Razor's pyro awkwardly goes off. Like, even Razor was like, hey, yo,
backstage,
what the fuck?
Stuff was so weird.
Chico, what are you...
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't... Do you have to set those up? Couldn't you have just pulled the thing out of the ring and not set the pyro off?
I don't know.
It's been a production shit show.
It's been a nightmare.
It has. Yeah. But... if we get to the actual match, this match I feel was better than the Royal Rumble, but of course, you still have to have your shenanigans. And very early on, Razor is going for a Razor's Edge, and the roadie just decides he's going to pull Jeff Jarrett off of him.
No, whoa, pull?
Yeah,
pull.
He reached in, grabbed his ankles, and pulled him off.
He saw that Jeff Jarrett's shoe was, a boot was untied. So he had, and he was, he's all about safety, the roadie. He is all about safety. He wanted to make sure nobody got hurt. So he pulled him out. Yes, he pulled him, but it was to make sure that his shoe was tied.
But it was
up.
An equipment was, safety issue. Yeah, That's what it was.
Wardrobe malfunction, if you will. Wardrobe malfunction.
Save that for later, Pamela. It's not out yet.
No, that's what we want with Pamela. We want,
we want the wardrobe malfunction with Pamela. Yeah. So, yeah, it, I mean, so that happens, and the match continues. But what I found funny in these little segments was every time, like, the 1-2-3 kids out there to stop Rhodey, it didn't fucking work at all. Like, every time something happened, 1-2-3 kids clear on the other side of the damn ring.
Well, yeah, he has to count 1-2-3 before he can go anywhere.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought maybe the kimono was just too big. I didn't know. Now, what? Look, so there was a spot that I can't. Maybe Blaze can help me. There was a spot where Rhodey ends up getting his head hit into the corner, and wow, you could hear that shit. Like, he didn't hit the turnbuckle. He hit the metal part that holds the ropes to the corner turnbuckle. And ouch.
Well,
I don't remember
exactly
what happened.
That was just
there.
Rude of Razor Ramon to slam Rhodey's head into the... He didn't deserve that.
I didn't think Razor... I thought Rhodey slipped. I didn't see Razor touch him. I thought Rhodey just slipped.
No. That was just rude. He is not part of the match. There is no reason for him to throw his head.
He's not part of the match. What about the equipment malfunction? I mean, he was part of the match, right?
Well,
so
that was a safety issue. Do you want to see these guys hurt? I think you want to see these guys hurt, Boomer.
No, not at all. Unless it's Rhodey or Jeff Jarrett, and then maybe.
See, you just do not care for the talent.
I do.
No respect.
I have plenty of respect for the people that don't cheat. But that's a whole other story.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
True. Okay, so what about the other spot in the match where the ref's back is turned and Jeff Jarrett is in the corner laying down and the 1-2-3 kid grabs Jarrett's legs and tries to give the old ball shot to the corner post?
I didn't see that.
You missed that. Jeff Jarrett stopped it, though. Jeff Jarrett kicked the 1-2-3 kid and he hit the barricade. But he did. The 1-2-3 kid tried to help with an equipment issue. Maybe it was the boot again. And the 1-2-3 kid tried to help him, but he had Jarrett's legs and tried to do the old crotch shot to the post, and he got kicked into the barricade by Jarrett. So it was unsuccessful.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but this match I thought really was better. I give Jeff Jarrett a lot of shit. This was better than the Royal Rumble. There wasn't as many shenanigans this time. But just when you thought we might get a winner in this match... Guess what happens? The roadie decides the match is over.
Well, you know,
well.
You gotta understand, roadie was fuming, because the earlier in the match, you could tell that the roadie was talking to Razor Ramon when his neck was on the ropes. They were just talking.
Oh.
They were just talking.
How? You know, I forgot
and
about
Razor
that.
Razor Ramon said
talking.
Some very bad things about the roadie's mom. And, I mean, you gotta protect your mom.
Yeah, you can't take mom
yeah,
shots.
So
I mean, I hate
mad.
To be under, I don't want to agree with the roadie.
I'll give him this.
But
he probably shouldn't have gone in there. But, you know, you don't talk about a man's mom like that.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't. And then I just figured, you know, there was some concern.
And you keep on giving all this shit to the roadie and Jeff Jarrett, but did not say a thing about 1-2-3 Kid grabbing Razor Ramon's hands during that the figure four lock.
Oh, that I don't remember that spot.
Oh, you don't remember that?
I didn't see that. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was blatant, absolutely terrible.
I don't recall that, Your Honor. It was blatant. It was on purpose. But, yeah, I thought we were going to get a finish, but the roadie comes in to check Razor's knee, apparently. I think he was worried that, you know, Razor was doing the Razor's Edge. He didn't want anything to happen. It was a safety issue, right? That's what happened.
But can we talk about the ups that 1-2-3 Kids has? I mean, those Mitsunuku...
Oh,
kicks or whatever they're called.
The kicks.
Those kicks.
Those
holy
kicks
crap.
Were
he
badass.
Gets high. Oh my gosh, he gets high.
He does get high. Like, he's hitting these guys in their eyes or face or right on the nose. Like, yeah. It turned into a melee. It was that. But 1-2-3 Kid was, yeah, throwing around the whatever.
It was.
Jiu-jitsu swirl.
It was Snoop Dogg high. It was Snoop Dogg high. I tell you what.
Folks, that's high.
That's high.
That's,
you
that's
don't get
way,
much higher than that.
That's way up
maybe
there.
Maybe not quite up. Willie Nelson high, but it's Snoop Dogg definitely for sure.
They were very high. I still don't know what the kimono was for, but the kicks were high, and they just continued to pound the piss out of each other until the referees broke it up.
1-2-3 Kid's a very athletic dude. He's a very impressive wrestler.
He is. It's just right at this time, he was like, I said 12 jokingly, but he was really young. Really young here, and he's still the 1-2-3 Kid, so he quite hasn't gotten to the stardom yet. But, you know, and I love that the whole time Jerry Lawler's like, the kid needs to get out of here. He has no business being down here, because Roadie, of course, has a manager's license, so he's allowed to be down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But get the kid out of here. What's the kid doing down
there?
He has
just
no business
messing up this match.
And I was just actually, I was waiting for one of the reporters to get involved, because we've seen that in the WWF before. I thought for sure one of those cameramen were going to end up not being a cameraman, but that didn't happen. Overall, though, I enjoyed the match.
No, it was a decent match.
It was a decent match. There was some good wrestling in it.
Although,
you know,
after watching the first match, really low bar.
I mean, yeah, after the first
really
match, this shit was like 20 stars compared to the first match. But, I mean, look what we had to deal with, you know. So, I mean, overall good. Once again, though, we didn't get an actual finish. I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see Jarrett and Razor again on one of these up-and-coming pay-per-views. Because it's not over yet.
It's not over yet. This feud's
sure.
not done.
And I'm just part of me is like, Razor, why don't you get on the microphone and talk shit to Jarrett like he did at the Rumble? You could restart this thing like, hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Get your ass back in here. but not bad. I think we're ready to rank. Are we ready to rank this match?
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna give this 3 kimonos.
Oh, see, I was about to do practically the same. 3 emotional support kimonos. I feel like that's what they needed.
I like that.
3 emotional.
You're a little
support.
Better. You see, he had to one up me. That's
yeah,
what he
I
does.
Had to one up you. I had it in my head. I couldn't just. I didn't want to come up with something else. I already had that in my head.
He's probably reading my notes.
Yeah, my notes.
Cheating. Yeah.
All right.
On to the next.
On to the next.
And maybe
match.
Some backstage segments. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So before the next match, we get a backstage segment, and it actually works. And the person backstage is, I'm going to chop the name up, Nicholas Satoru. Way back in the day, he was big on NYPD Blue. So he's in the back locker room with the entire Million Dollar Corporation and Shawn Michaels and another celebrity, Jenny McCarthy. We get double eye candy here. Are you going to be able to handle this, Blaze?
I don't know. Jenny McCarthy in 1995?
Pretty, And actually,
before plastic surgery,
we're always like pre-plastic surgery. They're so hot.
want to touch the honey.
So we get them talking backstage, and they ask John a question about the title match, and Sid stepped in to tell him to shut the fuck up, basically. And at this point, Sid has actually been brought back, and Sid is now Sean's new bodyguard. So Sid has replaced the Diesel role, and Sid is now Sean's handyman. So we got that little backstage segment before our next match. We cut back to the ring, and the Million Dollar Man music hits, and it's King Kong Bundy facing The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought that this is the match where Undertaker was going to lose that streak.
It was close, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or not at all. So this was, of course, when the match started from the Royal Rumble. Ted DiBiase still had the urn. So it's harder for Undertaker, you know, to function without his urn, is apparently where we're going with this. But even at the beginning of the match, it was just Undertaker beating the piss out of Bundy. Like, that was the first couple of minutes of the match.
That was most of the match.
Most of the match. And then Undertaker just went straight up to Ted and was like, bitch, I'm taking my urn back. And he just grabbed it out of his hands. He's like, that's mine. And then Paul Bearer is, of course, doing his,
I really want this, you guys. Give me the urn
Stop
back.
Stop fucking with my urn.
You guys are so rude. So mean.
So he continues to beat him, and then out of nowhere, here comes Kama, the fighting machine. Who we'll later know as Papa Shango and the Godfather. Oh. But at this time, he is Kama. Mustafa.
I did not
He's not even Mustafa
him.
Yet.
I did not recognize him.
He's just Kama at this point, and he came out and re-stole the urn. So here we go again with no
partner. So does he just give breaks between sentences?
Is that it? Not comma. Not comma with a C. Comma, K-A. Comma.
Oh. Okay?
K-A-M-A, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not
comma.
Like, this guy's talking about fucking sentences. You caught me off guard, too. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Does this guy just pause? This guy over here is tricky. This guy here. So after comma, not the Jesus Christ.
English jokes.
What was I getting into? After he re-steals the urn, and then all of a sudden the Undertaker doesn't have any power anymore, and Bundy starts beating
him.
Oh,
no.
What are we going to do? We bought this shit when we were kids, too. This was back when, like, the urn was everything.
Oh, yeah.
And without the urn, the Undertaker wasn't able to. And I love the fact that after, this actually becomes a storyline, but during the match, we have Jim Ross. Now Vince is like, the audio works, let's just do it all the time. We're still in the match, and Jim Ross is interviewing Kama for stealing the urn. And Kama's like, it's mine now, and I'm going to take this urn, and I'm going to melt it down and make it into a gold chain, because this is my urn now.
That's right. I'm going to give these urns to my ho train. Oh,
he's not there yet, but he will be.
Too early.
Nobody's already going after that gold, isn't he? He's not even a pimp yet. He's already going after the gold.
He's going for that gold.
But I mean,
well, it takes a lot of gold for all those hoes. Yeah.
What do you know though? You didn't recognize him. That's the
I didn't recognize
him.
That is
who that is. Yeah.
I did not know who Kama was.
He's Kama the Supreme Fighting Machine, and then when he goes to the Nation of Domination, he's Kama Mustafa.
Okay.
So you probably vaguely remember
that.
I guess I vaguely remember that.
I just don't remember him as just
And then he's Kama. Papa Shango, and then he's, of course, the Godfather, which was probably his biggest gimmick, but yeah.
It is his biggest. It might be sad, but that
is
his
still
biggest
the God,
gimmick.
I think he's still the Godfather. I'm just saying.
He's the Godfather.
Could you imagine trying to do that now? He would get so canceled.
Oh my gosh, no.
You can't
no
have a hoe train.
You can't
are you
have
kidding
a hoe train,
me?
No.
Or bra and panty no matches. Those aren't happening right anymore either, but yeah, the hoe train was always
every
like.
Every single one of these women wrestlers would just be staring at him like, are you serious?
No more
we
hoes.
We fought, and we fought to get out of the Diva era. For you to bring hoes?
You know, technically, Joey Ryan kind of pulls off a hoe train, but that's
actually
a whole different story.
Actually, I would like to see a new Godfather, but he, like, respects the hoes, so he doesn't call them hoes anymore. They are fine escorts.
See, why did they do that when he became the good father? Remember,
good
he joined
right
yeah the censor, too, but
yeah,
he just
no
got
longer hoes.
He just got rid of the hoes. He just didn't even have a hoe train anymore.
Oh, no, he needs that train.
Yeah, he left the train.
Choo-choo, motherfuckers.
Oh, this was way before the hose, though, but he wants that gold already. But the funny thing is, we're going to see it down the road, but he literally laid out the storyline, because that's what happens, is he melts the Undertaker's urn, and he makes a gold chain out of it. Anyway,
oh
he fought through the evil, the urn disappearing, and of course the Undertaker won. Thank God the streak didn't end.
With the most boring end. I mean, I like
I his, think at the end, if you
I
notice,
like his jumping
The old school.
I thought the old school was where he gets on the top ropes. I'm talking about his clothesline.
The flipping clothesline.
Flipping clothesline. I always liked that, but as a end of this match, he couldn't at least do a choke slam on him?
Maybe, because if you watch, like what happened right before he used the clothesline, which is not his finisher, he picked him up and I thought he was going for a tombstone. He's like, fuck, this guy's too big.
That could be it.
I think that's what happened. It kind of looked like he was going for the tombstone.
I'm not as strong as I thought I was, so we're going to slam me down and do this.
I think he had to improvise. I think he was going for the tombstone there, and Bundy was too heavy. He ended up just he gave him a body slam. Basically.
Doing the cross pin does not fit as well off of that. Just that close slide.
You should have done the choke slam to begin with, Digger.
You should have done the choke slam. You can't do the tombstone.
He's done the choke slam.
Didn't he do the choke slam the last?
That's
pay-per-view?
Yeah, he's doing
it
already.
Yeah, I think he did it in the last pay-per-view. Yeah.
So do something you can do. But I think he just had to improvise. That's what it looked like to me. But you're right, because when he went to cross the arms, I'm like, there's no way that's it. And it was.
I don't think, very rarely does Undertaker cross those arms. And no.
Well, we also forgot to mention that we had an official that didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
No.
There was literally a baseball umpire was the special guest referee.
Yeah.
Literally.
Because, you know, baseball, wrestling, same sport. Same thing.
I forgot to mention it during the Royal Rumble last time, but this is the year, the steroid trial is over now, and Vince is trying to make WWE big again, so he thinks that all us wrestling fans, what we want are just celebrities sprinkled fucking everywhere. Which is why it's so heavy, which is why this WrestleMania began
with... No, what we want is not have a tag team match with the fucking Blue Brothers. That's what we want. Good wrestlers...
I even shocked myself because we've been picking on the Blue Brothers so bad, and I Googled them, and they're actually, some of you will know them when I say it, they became the Harris Brothers later on, so they actually stuck around, believe that or not.
God. I don't know how they still have jobs.
Well, not anymore, but they got them again somehow. They were like, shave the hair off and come on back. Leave Zebekiah at home and let's give it another shot. So this match was what it was. Other than the tombstone, Undertaker did all his. He did the old school climbing the ropes. He did his clothesline. Bundy gave him these real vicious clotheslines over the top twice. And the first time the Undertaker landed on his feet, the second time, he either oversold the hell out of that shit or he legit was supposed to land on his feet and he missed because he just flopped all over the floor.
Yeah, those were some weak clotheslines.
Yeah, Bundy was, he was only 38 at this time, but he was way past his prime. Way past.
Yeah, his prime was 20 years ago. I don't think he wrestled 20 years ago, but I don't know. I never really got into King Kong Bundy. Just never was one of my favorites.
Me neither. He was not, I don't know, I don't want to bash the guy, but I never found him intimidating or nothing. He didn't come out and I'm like, oh no, it's King Kong Bundy. Somebody's going to get hurt. I never... Never thought that. I didn't think he was a viable opponent against Hogan. I mean, it gave him a moment, but I never thought he would beat Hulk Hogan when he had his WrestleMania match. Like, I don't know. I just, whatever. Bundy's Bundy, I guess. All right, well, this was not as good as the last match. This was just an Undertaker squash match is all this was.
No, this wasn't very good
at all. It wasn't that good. I'm going to give it 2 melted urns into gold chains.
I'm going to give it 1.5 hose.
Hose. He's hooked on the hose and they're not even here yet.
Or, I'm sorry, comma, hose.
Got me on the fucking English, I'll tell you that. All right, well, let's see what's in store next. All right, so before our next match, we have another backstage segment. We have a serious problem here at WrestleMania. Pammy Anderson's missing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Why? This is a cool. So we go backstage and that guy that I can't remember again anyway. But
wait a minute. She's not missing.
She's missing.
She's in Shawn Michaels' locker room.
Actually, see, you didn't pay attention to the last segment. They said Pam was missing because her and Shawn got in a fight. And she said she had to leave the building.
Oops.
Shawn upset her.
Oh.
So instead, we find Bob Backlund playing chess with Jonathan.
I think I was brewing coffee at the time.
He was brewing coffee and breaking mugs. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Legit breaking mugs.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
We go back. Yeah, so you did miss it. And we went backstage and they said they can't find Pam. Her and Shawn got in a fight and he's missing. He goes in the locker room and it's Bob Backlund playing chess with Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement. The youngest son. Making us feel really old. Yeah. And then, you know.
He just can't wait to be king.
That's all Bob Backlund can yell about is this is what's wrong with the world today, blah, 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 whatever. So that's the little backstage thing we got. Apparently, Pam and Sean got a little tissle. Is that a thing? A fight? I don't know. And then our next match is the tag team title match. Now, for a couple months leading up to WrestleMania, Owen was demanding a tag team title match, but didn't have a partner. And he said, don't worry, I'll find a partner. And just so you know now, originally the plan was Jim the Anvil Neidhart, but I think I mentioned on our last episode he was fired because he decided he didn't want to show up to work. So Jim could be their partner. But the other person considered, this is actually very interesting because, you know, I'm kind of a history nerd, so they actually considered Chris Benoit. And at the time, Chris Benoit was in ECW. But they actually considered bringing him in, and they brought him in for a couple of tryouts, and they decided not to go with him, and of course he ended up in WCW. But they were actually thinking about Chris Benoit. They thought it would make sense because he went to the Hart Dungeon and blah, blah, blah. But apparently his tryouts didn't go too well.
Huh.
So it ended up being the King of Hearts, Owen Hart, and his surprise partner, Yokozuna. My God, I forgot how massive that
Maybe
man is.
Maybe WWF realized he's a little unstable.
Who's unstable?
Chris Benoit.
Ooh, I realize that. We're going to get canceled. You know, he was a little unstable, wasn't he?
A little bit. So,
yeah, it's Owen and Yoko against the Smoking Guns.
Bart and Billy Gunn.
Look, I said, I wonder if he goes back, if Billy watches this stuff, and he's like, thank God I survived it, because they're, like, coming out, and he's doing, like, the fake guns in the air. Like, the pew, 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 and then he puts them back in the holster.
You know what?
That he doesn't have, like...
I can't complain about this. You know why? I complained earlier that... The Blues Brothers didn't have any blue in them. At least the Gunn Brothers are doing finger guns.
They had their smoking guns with them. They just weren't real. I guess I could go with that.
It would have been kind of cool, and maybe it's because producers or whatever didn't allow it to happen. But if they had like some fake guns that like shot like little.
They did, which is weird why they didn't have them on WrestleMania, because they used, like, on Raw and stuff, they would have, like, cap guns, you know, that would...
Yeah.
And for some reason, I guess they went in the budget, because you've seen how this show's been going. Did you notice... So they interviewed the Smoking Guns real quick before the match, and did you notice right before they were done talking, smoke started rolling in the interview room? Did you catch that right at the end? Yeah. Like, The Undertaker was coming or something. Like, right when they cut off the interview, the guns, random smoke just starts. I don't know who the fuck the producers are in this, but they probably all got fired.
Well, I feel like they should have had plenty of budget because they didn't use any of it on whoever's doing the backstage audio.
To top this shit show off, we won't see it till later because you can only see this once because of the way they do the camera. So you'll have to pay attention to the Shawn Michaels match, but... The apron on the other side of the ring we can't see is not even a fucking wrestle. They forgot one of the aprons.
Oh, come
on. So the apron on the side of the ring we can't see is just the generic blue apron with the WWF logo because someone lost one of the fucking ring skirts. That's what we're doing in 1995. And the only time you can see it is during the main event, or not the main event, I'm sorry, but during the Shawn Michaels match because they go all around the ring. So we got to keep our eye out for that.
Yeah, okay.
A missing fucking ring apron. That guy got fired, I'm sure. So anyway, this was actually... I
hope a lot of people got fired after this fucking shit show.
You, this shit show.
This has been a shit show.
Just bring in some more... Maybe they have baseball umpires running the fucking lights and shit. I don't know. But this match, now, there wasn't really... I'm not going to complain about... These, to me, weren't considered shenanigans. There was some good double teaming going on. You know, Owen Hart's not a dumb man. Owen Hart knows what the hell he's doing. And the Smoking Guns actually pulled off some really cool moves. There was, like, one where they did, Bart picked him up and Billy came in and did, like, a running diamond cutter almost, which was pretty cool.
We got, like, a version of the Famouser.
Yeah, it was, like, a double-team Famouser.
Yeah,
so
that was cool.
The Smoking Guns pulled off some good moves, but it just come down to Yoko was too powerful and Owen was too smart. That's basically what I see happened here. But, dude, we were talking about this. Did Billy Gunn not die?
He died.
That damn Bonds. Look, I don't know who that guy is now that's Billy Gunn, but that's not the original. Billy Gunn died in this fucking pay-per-view when he got bonsai'd by Owen.
I imagine that had to have been one of the worst moves to take.
It looked so painful.
Yokozuna's bonsai drop.
And Yoko had just come back, and he gained weight. Like, he was 100 pounds heavier. He's over 600 pounds.
That was a lot of ass.
That was a lot.
That was a very powerful ass.
And that, like, we all know how this works, right? But how the fuck do you fake that? It did not look fake. And Billy laid there like, you know, seizing. I don't know what. And Bart thought, I'm going to break up this pin. Why? Let the match be over.
Yeah, just
your partner's dead.
Bart's dead.
So then Owen, I think, like, felt bad for him. Owen comes in because he did break the pin up, and Owen gets tagged in, and he looks like he's going for the sharpshooter, but he just has this moment like he's like, fuck it. I'm even yelling, why do you have to give the guy a sharpshooter? He's literally fucking dead. Just cover the guy and get it over with. And he did.
He's like, oh,
sharpshooter.
Oh, okay, he's dead. Let's.
Meanwhile, Yoko's over there leaning on the ropes like, fuck, I'm glad this shit's over with. I mean, bless his heart.
I need
Sorry,
some more chicken
gone,
wings.
But God. Wow. I just forgot how big he got.
He is a large man.
And I actually mentioned to you that he was sent away because Vince was trying to get him help with the issue, but it didn't work. He gained while he was gone. He added 100 more pounds on while he was gone. Like,
wow.
Wow. Wow. But not a bad match. I actually enjoyed it. I love Owen Hart.
Oh, yeah. Owen Hart was fantastic.
And he was entertaining the whole thing, and they win, and he's fucking jumping up in the ring like a, you know, like a kid. Like, yeah, funny.
He's great. Got a good character. He's a good wrestler. He's good on the mic. I mean, I like Owen. I like his whininess.
Yeah, I do miss Owen. Owen was such a good heel. Right up there on that level I think MJF is at now. But, oh, that's where Owen was. Like, King of Hearts stuff was great. You know, I loved it. This was not a bad match. Not a bad match at all. I'm going to give it a... Fuck. I'm going to give it 3. Billy Gunn is dead. 3 fucking times he died.
I'm going to give this... 3 mighty asses.
3 mighty asses that just got
3
killed.
3 mighty ass.
Mighty ass. I hope he survives.
That is a powerful ass.
But I am actually shocked with it being Owen Hart that there was no real... There weren't really any shit getting any good. Distracting the ref and shit like that, that's just good double teaming. Like,
How did Yokozuna ever lose with an ass so great?
I don't know, dude. But what about that? The one thing that I couldn't believe was, remember, was it a double drop kick by the Smoking Guns? And, like, Yoko sold the shit out of that. Remember how hard he fell out of the ring? Yeah. He, like, fell through the ropes and fucking just crashed down on the floor. And I'm like, God, that had to hurt, too.
Yeah, well, like... That's ouch. A lot of velocity going down.
And he fell fast and hard. Yeah. Like, this wasn't a slow roll. Like, he fucking flew through them ropes.
Yeah, he did.
And Billy Gunn's dead, in case we haven't mentioned that.
Yes.
So let's see what they have in store for us next. Okay, so before our next match, we get Todd Pinton go backstage with Bam Bam Bigelow to talk about the main event, which isn't the WWF title match, because why would it be? The main event is Bam Bam taking on LT, Lawrence Taylor, and so Todd Pendergill's interviewed him, and I think the interview went on way too long, and Bam Bam didn't have any energy. Like, was that not the most boring promo ever? He was just talking like, yeah, I'm in the main event of WrestleMania, and LT's not a wrestler, and I'm going to show him what's up with his heavy Jersey accent.
Well, he realizes that he's not a wrestler, so he doesn't need... to give it all.
You should. I think he needs to take some promo school with you, Blaze. You could have done that promo way better. There should have been some yelling.
Absolutely.
There should have been some. You're Bam Bam fucking Bigelow. Yeah. Like, and you're just like, you know, he ain't a wrestler. I got him. It was not a good promo. I remember Bam Bam being better. I think someone wrote it. This whole thing's been just weird.
Yeah.
With the production slips and everything.
Ron Simmons saw that promo and was like, damn, damn.
Damn.
Damn, damn.
Instead of, hey, that's a good one. Yeah,
yeah, like thank you.
See,
thank
you're pretty
you.
Quick on your feet sometimes. So after, I want to explain the match we see after this, but I was confused myself. So Howard Finkel says, the following contest is a special submission match, but the only way to win is to make your opponent say, I quit.
It was a old school I quit match before I quit matches were really a thing.
Yeah, because at first we weren't even sure, like, were there DQs or not, but they said later on there were. You know, but it was kind of weird. And then we get our special referee for no reason, Rowdy Piper.
Hey, there doesn't need to be a reason to get some Rowdy Piper.
Because he's fucking Rowdy
Piper. I love Rowdy
yeah.
Piper.
Yeah. I mean, who cares why? Who cares why he was the special
I don't
enforcer.
Understand it, but I don't care.
No, and this, the whole thing felt fucking weird to me. First of all, here's where I had the biggest issue. Piper's sticking that mic in their faces every 3 seconds, but I get it. You have to make them say I quit, but you also said it was a submission match. So why are you asking him, like, when Brett drops an elbow on his head. Do you quit, Backlund? It's not a fucking submission move, Piper.
I think Piper was just like, trying to make this match more exciting than it really was.
It was horrible. Look, I warned you before. I just happened to see in an interview or whatever that Bret Hart called this his worst match ever.
I understand.
Fucking boring. Like,
first off, Bob Backlund looks like he should be wrestling in the 1920s. His look, his style. Is that a style?
That is Mr. Backlund, sir.
Fuck Mr. Bob Backlund. Fuck Bob Backlund.
Somebody's not a bad Bob Backlund. He's
literally. They try. It's sad that you can't make crazy interesting.
Yeah, because he was trying to do like the insane gimmick.
I'm just insane.
But,
I'm crazy. Oh! But it was literally the most boring crazy I've ever seen.
Yeah, and there were some awkward spots in the match. Just like little things you notice. It was bad. It wasn't as bad as the one you guys had to suffer through because it was way longer. Thank God it was a short match. But it was bad.
It was rough.
It was boring. Other than Piper was the only entertaining thing. Him and Lawler, of course, because Lawler's fucking gold every time he's on a mic.
Oh, yeah, but I mean...
No shenanigans, no... I don't...
Lawler is essentially trying to polish a turd.
If you put icing on shit, guess what? You still have shit. It's just covered in icing. That's about all you get out of that. Like, and we didn't even get a sharpshooter.
No. Because Bret Hart finishes him off with the chicken wing.
The cross-faced chicken wing, sir.
Cross-faced chicken wing.
The cross.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck are we doing? The only pleasure you...
I quit this match.
Like, you're looking back on this, the steroid trials over the roster is so bad that Vince is just calling any fucking body. And that's how we ended up with Bob Backlund and King Kong. But I'm sorry, guys. You guys are past your prime. He's just making phone calls. Like, who's still alive? I don't know. Let's bring in whoever we can. Like, can you believe Bob Backlund was champ for like 8 years? We talked about this before. But back in the day.
No.
Like, how did that work? I mean...
Nobody showed up. Nobody came to care.
You know why Ric Flair worked being world champion? Because he was the NWA champion and he traveled all over the place. He wasn't the champ in one federation for that long. Like, I couldn't imagine that this day, but, you know, Roman's trying. But we'll see what happens.
I actually am kind of offended that you felt the need to bring up Ric Flair in anything, any
talk.
That
Bob Backlund did?
While talking about Bob Backlund. Like, he doesn't deserve to be any
I'm so
close
sorry,
to a
Rick.
Conversation. Of Ric Flair.
I'm so sorry, Flair, because I know he listens. you never know. Flair could be listening right now.
Yeah.
If you are, don't go back and watch this fucking match. There's nothing I even want to say about it. It was boring.
I'm offended! Woo!
I'm offended that this fucking match took place. How about that? There's nothing else to say about it. Piper was the only entertaining thing. It was just weird. It was awkward. We do. I think I asked this once before. Do we go negative on this show? I don't think we do.
I don't.
Wow. This
it's right up there with. I want to give it a higher rating only because I like Bret Hart.
Bret Hart was in it and Piper.
But
it was bad. It was
that
awkward.
Is not
it
enough.
Was boring. The Blue Brother match might have been better.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well, you know, I'm only going to give this... man, Brett's in it. That's what's hurt. I want to go really low.
Okay. You can go really low because even Bret Hart himself says he hates this match.
He did. He said this was his worst pay-per-view match ever.
At a WrestleMania.
Yeah, even. Look, I'm giving this half a fucking chicken wing. Is all I'm giving this, like... Yeah.
That's a disgrace to chicken wings.
It is.
I mean,
I'm sorry, chicken wings.
I love me some chicken wings, but no.
Well, does it make it better? It's half a cross-faced chicken wing. Does that make it better? I'm not talking about it. No.
No.
Because it was half-assed put on when Backlund quit, too, by the way. He didn't even have it all the way on. But that's a whole nother whatever.
I'm not even going to give anything. It's just half. Half of whatever, because that's all you deserve. You don't deserve...
Wow, it doesn't even get a category.
You don't deserve a unique anything, because this was shit.
It was shit.
This was shit.
The segment backstage where we couldn't
hear
was better.
I hope Bob Backlund is done after this pay-per-view. I really don't want any more Bob Backlund.
You know, he came back a few years ago, too. I don't know if you remember that. He was a manager, but he came back...
I believe I blocked that trauma from my head. Yeah, probably.
When he was trying to make Darren Young great again. That's what it was, right?
My gosh. I think
make Darren Young great again. Not by making Bob Backlund the fucking manager. That's not going to work.
I hate everything about that sentence.
I hate everything
about that sentence. We don't need to use the slogan, make anybody great. Anything great. Never.
Nothing's great after that fucking match. That's all there is to it.
I hate everything.
And we still haven't found Pamela Anderson. We haven't even seen her. I'm kind of mad. You gave us Jenny McCarthy for like 30 seconds, but we haven't even seen Pam.
You know, I was way more into Jenny when I was younger, so...
So you're kind of like, eh. Here's the thing, though. No one gives... The real reason they wanted to win the Rumble was for Pam. They didn't give a fuck about the title shot. It was all about Pam. And now you can't even find her.
Nah.
What the hell?
Because Shawn
must have done something really bad. Like, I don't know.
Well, I heard Shawn was kind of a dick back then, so.
Even Shawn says he was kind of a dick back then. Like, at least Shawn's big enough he can admit that now. But yeah.
I'm kind of a dick.
I'm a good guy now, though. I was kind of full of myself, yeah. But here again, though, see, I compare it to that's that Hulk Hogan syndrome. Once you become Vince's boy, of course it goes into your head. And Shawn was in that spot. Shawn could do no wrong. Shawn was...
Well, there's a reason. Shawn is a fantastic performer.
Oh, yeah. Now,
there's a reason he's cocky. He had every right.
He deserved to be. And Shawn's a way better wrestler than Hulk. I've never wrestled that or argued that fact. You know, Shawn's way better when it comes to the in-ring ability than Hulk was.
In-ring, he's fantastic on the mic. Shawn is the full package. Tell me a weakness from Shawn.
I can't. Listen, I always said, even back in the day, this is still young, this is still early, but every time Shawn Michaels fucking got in that ring, you knew we were going to get his all. It didn't matter if he won or lost.
And not to mention, he also...
There's a reason he's Mr. WrestleMania.
He's good as a face, he's good as a heel. He oversells things, which I love, and he does it so good.
But he does it right most times, except for the infamous Hulk Hogan match. We'll get to that a few years down the road. But yeah,
oh, I cannot wait. I'm gonna get.
I wish you guys could see Blaze right now.
Oh my god,
that's gonna be the first
10-star
match ever. Because
I've heard about this story. I heard that he was so upset about wrestling Hulk Hogan that he purposely made every move ridiculously oversell. I cannot wait to watch this match.
I think it was more he didn't want to lose to him. There was disagreements about how the match went, but still, it's so fucking like you can't even take the match seriously.
When is this? How long?
It's a SummerSlam, but it's a while away. It's
are we like
talking this is Hogan's
2000s?
Last run? Yeah, this was Hogan's like.
Oh, we got so long.
Yeah, this is when he came back.
And we're starting to do every pay per view now, so we're gonna be a while.
This is like after he fought The Rock. This is after he was NWO Hogan, and then he went back to Yellow and Red Hogan because everybody. Yeah, this is a while away. We were talking like six more WrestleManias, eight more. You know, so you got a while to go. Yeah, but it is funny. It is a funny match.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited to watch that match.
What you really should be able to wait for is to see how they're going to fill the rest of this pay-per-view. That's you still have LT and Bam Bam to look forward to.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I don't know.
Plays like, who the fuck's Lawrence Taylor anyway?
Is another pay-per-view going to get lower than the first? Because I think I have...
Are we supposed to be getting better?
Every first pay-per-view. I'm pretty sure I have every first pay-per-view at the bottom of my list. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble... WrestleMania, all the first ones because they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, it's the first try. Historically, WrestleMania will always be a big thing, but the first one was one of the worst ones.
Absolutely.
I mean,
this is really trying to fight for it, though.
I mean,
this is bad.
That's why I like going back through these chronological like this because, man, is this worse than 9? 9 was pretty bad, too, but I think this is worse. Because at least 9 had a cool factor. That was Caesar's Palace, and they were outside, so at least it had a cool factor.
Yeah.
This just... I don't know what's going
none
on.
None of this feels like a WrestleMania.
Nothing has yet.
None of it. I mean, I know we're not getting the extravagant entrances like we
not
do
yet,
nowadays.
But at least we got music, right?
But we got music, so... But, you know, here soon we should start getting those. Because don't we have the Shawn Michaels coming down from the
that's
rafters?
Coming up, yep.
That should be in 90, a couple years.
Once we get to 96... It's going to get really, really better.
Oh, we just got to get through the 95
we got to get
through
here. This 95.
Okay.
It's actually, here's a little backstage thing here, too, is if you remember this, it's like it's 95. This night, a young man named Paul Levesque introduced himself to the Clique. backstage at this pay-per-view. So this is actually the night Triple H became a member of the Click.
The Click.
So there's a little interesting
side. We haven't even seen Triple H on here.
Him, but he is here, and he's not on this card, but he had been signed at this point.
Oh, he had been signed, but we haven't...
But we haven't even seen him yet.
So we should be... Maybe in your house, we'll start getting to see Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
We're going to start seeing Hunter soon, yeah.
Oh, that's
good. It's about to get... The ringmaster comes
Hunter's
soon.
Hunter's been one of my favorites, and now that CM Punk is...
A piece of shit.
Hunter's probably back to being one of my favorite wrestlers of all
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Damn you, Punk.
I've always liked Hunter. I always liked Triple H when I was young. DX is really what got me back into wrestling.
Yeah.
And I always loved... Plus, I was not really watching wrestling when Hunter was always with the title, so I know a lot of people got pissed off with Hunter during those years.
They say it's because he was banging Stephanie, but he was always champ.
I missed all that, so that never soured me because I wasn't watching at the time. It was when I first got married, and I just wasn't watching wrestling.
I watched those years, and I don't buy that anyway. If you're one of the best, you're one of the best. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I've always been a big fan of Hunter. CM Punk was my favorite for a long time, but I mean, he's kind of a piece of shit.
Well, Phillip Brooks is. I guess we don't have to take it out on Punk. But that's fair.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about this shitty match.
It's not even a shitty match.
We haven't even been talking about the match.
We have to find something else to fill this shit is what we're doing.
Okay.
So let's see what's
next. Watch the next shitty match.
Shitty match. Okay, so before our next match, we get Todd Pinton go backstage with the champ Diesel. Pretty good promo. Diesel giving an interview and talking about the fact that he knows that Sean says Sid won't get involved. And Diesel's like, I've been in that role. I already know what's up. I don't trust Sid any farther than I can throw him. So we get that backstage promo. We get thrown to the ring, and they announce all of the 5 million people that need to come out and be guests, because we can't just have a WrestleMania without celebrities, right? So we have our special guest timekeeper, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and then our special ring announcer, Nick Tuta, whatever his name was, the NYPD guy. You know, that guy. Nick Toratatua, I don't know, whatever it's called. So he goes to do the introductions, and Sean comes out first, and Sean is accompanied to the ring by Sid and 1995 Jenny McCarthy. Now we got, like, 95 was a good year in more than one way. It's not for WrestleMania, but maybe for the ladies. And then Sean makes his entrance. We know it's elaborate, like always, because he's Shawn Michaels. Diesel starts coming out, and he does one of those little hand gestures, and here comes Pam. We found Pam. Pam's with Diesel. So that's where Pam's like, forget you, Sean. You want Jenny? Then I'll go with Big Daddy Cool. How's that? And finally, after watching all this, we get a match. Like, we get an actual, legit match. And you guys are going to hear us say it a million times. I don't care. We both agree Sean's one of the best ever. And when it comes to big men, Kevin Nash.
One of the best ever.
Yeah, he can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
Which is
we got a match. We had two legends in there. Two legends with this match, and also two really great wrestlers.
Could it technically be four legends if you count the two? Well, you know.
I was counting the two outside.
Yeah, but the two outside could be four if you talk about the puppies. That's all I'm saying. Just saying. I mean, I don't know. That's a whole nother.
Yeah, Sean Diesel legends. I mean, maybe not so much as Diesel, but... Right. Kevin Nash is a legend.
He's
a legend.
And we had a match that had a story, which always helps too, because of course this all stemmed from them breaking up as the
tag
team. We
also have Psycho Sid out here not being psycho at all.
The one match
bullshittery.
Yeah, you expect the most shit to happen. Sid did one thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But Sid really didn't try to interfere. He really didn't. He was out there rooting them on, being the cheer guy, but...
Wait, what are you talking about? Because the only thing I can think of is he threw the ref in after the Sweet Chin Music.
You don't remember Sid whipping out his Swiss Army knife and,
no.
Yeah,
No,
so
no.
Sid kind of took a turnbuckle off.
Well, it was a defective turnbuckle. He was just doing what he needed to do because that turnbuckle shouldn't have been there.
It shouldn't have.
No, it was damaged. And he didn't want them to hurt themselves on the damaged turnbuckle.
Right, you wouldn't want the pad.
Did anybody even use that? We got the slingshot.
So I think they messed the slingshot up. I think Sean landed wrong. Like, Diesel slingshot Sean in that corner, and he hit the middle turnbuckle. He didn't even hit the exposed.
Sean was like, I don't really want to take this.
I don't like
this.
I'm going to go down to the middle.
So it was like a...
Because you even called it. You were like, Sean's getting that. That's Sean's going to eat that shit. But it didn't happen.
Sean, you know, that always happens. Whenever a heel exposes a turnbuckle, it's never the face that takes it.
No. But, you know, this match, it started good right away. There were heavy hits. You know, they're both selling like they do. Diesel delivered like a... Was it like an elbow kind of like Luger's, I think, early in the match? And you could hear it just smack Sean's face. They end up outside, and Diesel goes to hit Sean. He ends up running into the corner post, and he hurts his ribs. So that's, you know, what Sean works on during the whole match. And Diesel has to, of course, act like the baby face that's hurt and can't, you know, come back. And then we get this spot where they're outside, and somehow they don't even show us. They're just like, hey, the ref just jumped out of the ring and fucked his ankle up. We didn't even get to see that. They're battling outside. And they're like, the ref came out to stop Sid from interfering, and he hurt his ankle. So they get back in the ring, and Sean hits the super kick. And, I mean, he hit it. It was a beautiful super kick. And he probably did have a 5 count. It was the old backfire on the heel, right? Sid's just looking like, oh, shit, there's a cover. Maybe I should get the ref back in here. Right. What am I doing? Let me roll him back
Sean,
in.
I feel like Sean's little promo at the end of the show or after the match, he's telling the truth. I mean, he proved it. He should have won. The ref was knocked out, but he got that super kick. There was no shenanigans. I mean, even the one slight shenanigan
didn't happen
where anybody took the... all he did was cut open a turnbuckle. Yeah. Nothing really happened with it. I mean, normally it's a Chekhov's gun situation. If you expose that turnbuckle,
I think they messed it up. I think that's what happened.
I think you're right. I think he was supposed to hit the turnbuckle, and he didn't. Didn't get the airtime.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the jackknife powerbomb that happens at the end. It was so weirdly done.
It was.
Where he brings him up, and Sean just goes straight down, like, feet first. Like, that's not how a powerbomb works.
No, see, we always talk about how great Sean sells, and he fucking knows. He fucked that all. He knows sold the shit out of that jackknife. I mean, he let him pin him, but it was the worst looking jackknife you ever seen.
Yeah, no, I thought it was meant to be a mess up. I didn't think it was meant to be the finish of the match. I thought Sean was going to kick out.
Right. The jackknife was meant to be the finish. It wasn't supposed to look like that. That was just Sean being Sean. According to Diesel, he thinks Sean did that on purpose. So, like, yeah, you may have won, but look how shitty the finish. It doesn't make sense to me. They were friends. They were
after this. They're part of the clique.
Yeah, the clique all starts around this time.
So I feel like Sean would have admitted that.
And Sean actually was the one that said, if you watch this, I guess they played it off with the ref being outside the ring. But Sean said that it was a bad idea for Kevin Nash to kick out of the super kick at 2 because he would get booed. Diesel would get booed. And there was some booing when he kicked out of the super kick. Like, Sean was like, that's not going to work like you think, Vince. Like, Vince is so trying to make Diesel Hulk Hogan because he couldn't let go of he has to have a Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I never really noticed it until my research.
I didn't realize they established the super kick as being such a...
Well, Sean's trying to. Trying to establish it that way. People loved Sean even when he was... Like, right away, people loved Sean. You know, it was kind of hard.
He's fantastic.
But yeah, I guess I never noticed as a kid, but you noticed in this match, I never remember seeing Diesel Hulk up. And Diesel tried to Hulk up. Like Hulk Hogan Hulk up. And then when I was little, I guess I didn't notice the whole Diesel power thing when they switched to it. That was totally Vince trying, you know, you had Hogan and you had Python power. Like, that was just more him trying to turn Diesel into...
I don't know if Python power ever made sense, but Diesel power actually...
Diesel power does.
Technically does.
Technically. But I knew Diesel changed his tights back in the day. I just never once hit my head like, oh, this is Hulk Hogan now. That's what they're trying to do. But he did Hulk up. I've never seen that in my life. He, like, even pumped the... pumped the fists. It was the full one. But it was a good match, and I think you could tell that these two knew each other already. I mean, they were a tag team at this point, too, but they had good chemistry.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was, other than the botched whatever happened with the jackknife, this was a
based
good match.
On what I know is next. This was by far the best
this should be the main event. This shit should end now.
This is the main event.
It is.
This was the main event in my heart.
But here again, Vince is trying to plug the celebrity stuff and the steroid trial and blah, 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 blah. So I know what we're going to do. We're going to put a football player in the main event of WrestleMania.
Here's the crazy thing. Not only do you have a football player, and I like Bam Bam.
So do I, but I think Bam you're going
Bam
where I
would,
too. Bam
is not a main eventer.
Not even a top tier guy.
He's never been a he's not a main eventer, and I don't think he was good at what he did, but I never looked at him as...
He was never that guy in WWF, no. He won the ECW
right
World
you
title,
have two
but...
fantastic... You got Shawn Michaels and Diesel,
yeah,
and you make Bam Bam versus LT.
A football player that's never wrestled.
Yeah.
Think about the way you set it up. You set it up during a match where Bam Bam and Tatanka lost to fucking Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 kid.
Here's a better way for me to put this before without trying to diminish what Bam Bam did is if you're going to do this match and make this the main event, why aren't you having someone that has been... It'd be one thing if they'd established Bam Bam as a main eventer, but has he even come close to main event status before this pay-per-view?
No.
He's not a... He wasn't a main eventer. You can't throw a non-main eventer to face a football player...
In the main event of WrestleMania.
And main event WrestleMania. That is just bad booking. If you wanted to do this, you should have done it with an actual main eventer. Someone who's already main eventing stuff.
Yeah, I guess it was that short of... First of all, it should have been LT anyway. This is just Vince again thinking that we want this celebrity stuff.
I don't even care about that if this is mid-card. If this was just
right,
something
if it wasn't
you were,
the main event. Even back then, I was 15 when this aired. I was pissed. Even as a 15-year-old, I'm like...
Yeah, this should,
why is this the main
I guess we should be doing this bitching when we talk about after we watch this match.
We're not even we're bitching before it even starts.
Yeah, we're bitching before. But that's bad booking.
But I can tell you tell you why Bam Bam did it because he got $250,000 to do this match.
Well, of course he got
and
the main
him,
event.
That's a lot of fucking money for Bam Bam. He's
yeah,
like, fuck yeah,
the main
do it.
Event. I mean, honestly, if you're going to do this, you should have done it with either Diesel or Bret Hart. One of your popular...
Right, Brett could have fought fucking LT instead of Bob Backlund. That could have...
That would have been better than Bob Backlund, absolutely! Yes!
Well, all we can do is see what... I can't remember all this.
Or
I know
Hell
I watched
Owen.
It, but... Yeah, I don't know.
Any of these other guys that are actually top-tier stars...
Some people include...
And has been in the past main right. eventers...
There's been bad choices. I don't know what to say.
I would have been even
fucking
okay.
Jerry the King Lawler could have fought him even.
I would have even been okay if this was before Shawn and Diesel.
Yes.
That's your main event of this pay-per-view.
And it should have been.
Absolutely should have been your pay-per-view.
Hands down.
And if you would have thrown this in front of it, that would have been fine. But this shouldn't be.
No.
And then I don't even care about it being Bam Bam. But you don't throw a football star in a main event or a non-main eventer yeah. as your main event of WrestleMania.
The main event of any wrestler, of course, there's multiple world titles now, but a world title match should always be the main event of WrestleMania, in my opinion. But who am I?
I mean, I agree. I guess, like, if you have, like...
But even if it's not...
At the height of popularity of Rock versus Stone Cold, if one of them doesn't have the title...
That's fine, yeah.
I guess I'm okay with that. But yes, I agree.
Most times, though, it should be the title.
It should be the world title, or it should be the women's. I mean, maybe not at this time.
Not at this time, because they're about to wrestle in bra and panties here soon. They're not
very soon.
There's nothing serious with the women.
I'm curious if we're going to actually get those matches on here.
We're worried about the peacock thing, yeah.
The peacock.
If they'll clean it up.
The peacock doesn't like you to enjoy your cock.
Well, it shouldn't shock you that if Peacock gives us too much crap, I know a guy that has a large collection of almost every wrestling pay-per-view on Blu-ray and DVD, and that would be me. I have a vast collection. I have the WWE Network in my storage room. I'm just saying.
Oh.
I have a lot of them. So if there's anything serious we ever miss...
If it starts becoming a thing, you might want to just, in case, bring
just in
over
case.
Whatever pay-per-view we're watching.
I can't say I have them all, but I have, like, pretty much all the Manias, all the Survivor Series, all the Rumbles, like the big ones.
Those are the big ones.
Yeah, the big ones.
Those are the ones we definitely want.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I do actually have a large collection, so we'll keep that in mind.
So, I mean, I don't know what we all, what they've taken off of Peacock.
Me neither.
Like, what about blackface when...
I bet you if you looked it up right now, it wouldn't be there.
I feel like that's gone. It was on the WWE Network.
Yeah. But we're not WWE Network anymore. Now we're family-friendly Peacock. We can't...
Yes, family-friendly with MacGruber.
Right. They got plenty of family relationships.
Scream 5.
I did want to mention real quick, I'm backtracking now, but when Sean was doing that promo, Sid, you know, was there with him, and Sid's like, in any other major sport you have... more than one referee. You know, like, you have multiple referees in football and the Super Bowl, blah, 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 but in this match you had one ref. Like,
he's not wrong.
He's not, but since kind of nuts. Not.
If you wanted to make this more realistic, you would have a backup ref, especially when you're talking about a sport where the ref gets knocked out a lot.
Yeah, and here WCW did that a few times back in the day. See, that's something where, and when they wanted the big fight field, they just brought Michael Buffer in to ring announce. Instead of Nick Toratatua or whatever the fuck his name is NYPD Blue. But anyway, we're shitting on the main event before we even get to it. I suppose.
All right, let's watch this main event so we can shit on it properly.
That's right, proper shitty. All right, so we finally got through this main event that we were shitting on before we saw it. And for a minute there, we thought Salt and Pepper were out there just to dance like hookers. Salt and Pepper were there, but apparently Peacock has a problem with musical performances, because I hooked it up and they did perform, but we did not see that. We missed out on that.
My guess is it has something to do with copyrights.
Maybe.
Maybe they didn't want to spend the money to keep that.
I guess I didn't think about that before. Like, WWE, that happened a few times with WWE too, so maybe it was a copyright thing.
It could be a copyright thing where they weren't allowed to.
I thought maybe they just got too nasty.
I don't know.
Ground a little
but you know much, what? But... we're going to do what Peacock didn't, and we are going to end this show, and we'll play What a Man.
Yeah, because that's
which they is were what singing. They played.
And I guess it was before. See, that song popped in my head before the match started, and for some reason I thought they sung LT Down to the Aisle to What a Man. That's what I remembered in my head. But that's not what happened. But I do remember that song being sung there, so... before the match starts, we're trying to make this like a football game, so we announce the entire $1 million corporation. They all come running out, jogging. Even IRS, which for some reason made me laugh way too hard. It was just something about... the rest of them looks okay running down there, but you see IRS in his tie, and then Ted runs down too. It was just kind of funny. Then all the NFL guys get, you know, they come down. Pat Patterson's the referee for this match. I don't know why, but I didn't hate it. I was okay with Pat Patterson.
No, I'm fine with Pat Patterson.
He's not normally a ref. I don't know why he was, but... so then we get the Bam Bam intro. He gets his, you know, Blaze's favorite entrance music.
Bam Bam!
Just in case you don't realize it's Bam Bam, they want you to make sure...
Bam Bam!
Bam Bam! Bam, just so you know. And then LT got some generic, I don't know, WWE NFL entrance music. So... and I gotta admit, this still should not be a WrestleMania main event.
No, it wasn't a main event, but...
not as bad as I remember, though.
It's not that bad.
You know what? Bam Bam did a hell of a job carrying that match.
Well, and LT, when he was on the offensive, I mean, they were simple moves.
They were.
But he did sell them decently.
Yeah, and he...
like, and he sold them with a lot of force to make it look... now, my biggest complaint is... why the hell did you not tackle? Why didn't you do a spear?
Right. I mean, it would have been illogical.
You're a freaking football player. Spearing is what you do. Logically, it makes sense for you just to tackle.
Yeah. But I mean, for a guy that he only trained a few months to do this match. Now, of course, most actual athletes can adapt pretty quick. But for somebody that only trained a few months and got thrown into this, it wasn't as bad as I remember. But it still shouldn't have been the main event.
No. By no means should this have been the main event. It wasn't atrocious. It is atrocious that it was the last match of WrestleMania.
And all they did in this one was shove celebrities. And I don't think I brought it up again, but the fake press people were around the ring almost all night.
This is
You know, Blaze was like, I'm not even paying attention to him.
This is all a weird WrestleMania.
And we did see the missing, mismatched ring apron. There was the one apron off camera was not a mania. Oh, yeah,
in the Shawn Michaels match.
Yeah, because he decided, listen, everybody wants to see me walk around the aisle with Jenny McCarthy. Not only did we see the messed up apron, but I don't know if you noticed there was a guy laying on the floor when they came around like he didn't want to be seen on camera. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
Well, here's the funny thing. Is when they get past the messed up apron, they just record from in the ring to Shawn on the outside.
And you're like, why didn't they do that?
Why didn't they just do that to avoid showing that ring apron?
Who got fired after Mania? That's what I want to know. How many people?
Oh, somebody got fired. But at least a few.
It was actually not a bad match. Bam Bam, you know, he was never a main event guy, but he still did his he does some impressive things for a big man. He does.
I like Bam Bam. But, he just shouldn't have been the main event.
No, Vince was just trying to sell celebrity and the NFL being with the WWF and whatever. It won't be my worst match of the night. I mean, it wasn't, in my opinion. And it wasn't as bad as I forgot.
No, we had two terrible matches.
It should not have been the main event.
It's still not going to get a high score, but it's better than five those star? Two. No, it's not going to be high. Yeah, we
haven't just because your favorite entrance music was
we
there.
We haven't even sniffed five stars in the last two shows we've watched.
That's because we've been sniffing something else the last year. sniffing.
Absolutely.
For goodness sakes, we've had two half-star ratings on this one. I don't even think the last one was that bad.
No, this has been a bad...
Yeah. But overall, it wasn't. Now, it ended very quickly, but you could tell. Like, I knew this anyway from reading
up. Did we ever rate the last match?
Did we rate that?
I don't even remember if we did.
You're supposed to be on top of this. I thought you were the guy. What was the last match?
Shawn Michaels versus Diesel.
We didn't rate that shit.
We didn't rate that.
They're going to stop listening to us. The two people that listen.
The one decent match
we got all caught up and talking and we didn't rank it. Wow. We're trying to get back in the flow.
I'm going to give it 3.5 super kicks.
Okay, I really don't think we did.
I don't think we did either.
I don't either. I'm going to give it 4 jackknives. We're just going to throw it in there.
Bad jackknives. All right, yes. Continue with the...
We apologize. That's a good catch, because we did not rank that. That was... Oops.
Oops.
Oops. I did it again. Hopefully not this again, though. They ended it very quickly, and you could tell Lawrence Taylor was like, fuck. He was spent. You could tell that man was tired, and it was actually some stuff I knew. Like, after the match, he had trouble speaking. He had trouble walking. He got a real taste of all those people that, you know, wrestling so fake. An NFL player was like, fuck. not easy.
He had Bam Bam's fat ass right on top of his face.
Yeah, I mean, he took some that moonsault, dude.
That moonsault, man.
Ooh, he hit.
How do you fake that?
I don't know, but he hit him right in the fucking painful. Face. He landed right on Taylor's face and supposedly hurt the knee.
I think there was. They didn't really do much with the knee afterwards. I think that was real.
It probably was. He missed.
I think he missed.
He did. That's not how Bam Bam lands.
I don't think he was supposed to land on his face.
No, he does not normally land on guys' faces. He missed. But there were a few moves that were kind of, sketchy because he was in there with a non-wrestler. But overall, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Did Lawrence Taylor just get teabagged from the top rope?
Teabagged from the top rope sounds like I thought Billy Gunn was dead. Lawrence Taylor might be too. Oh, he might be really dead. He might legit be dead. I don't know. I'm not going to Google it either. I'll just get some hate mail. It's fine. thank God we made it through this. Overall, this was entertaining. So, I mean, I'll give it to... I can't steal from Blaze. I can't get the tea bags out of my head. I hate you sometimes. I'm going to give it a two forearms. Two forearms to the head, because that's how LT won this match, was that killer forearm from the top, middle rope.
I'm going to give this 1.5 flying tea bags.
Flying tea bags. I love the 1.5.
Flying tea bags.
Flying tea bags. LT got tea. Bam Bam, that was probably nasty too. Probably be sweaty. All right, well,
it was better than some of these matches.
It was.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
And I think this might be a 2 or a 2.5, but I think since since it was the main event, I deducted points because it didn't deserve
because
that.
Because it didn't deserve it. I can see that.
I had to deduct about a point or a point and a half or a half point because of the fact that it didn't deserve to be the main event.
I just find it hilarious that we had one good match and we got so excited about talking about a good match, we just forgot to rank the fucking
We forgot award. To rank it, yeah.
Best match and not ranking shit.
Yeah, we're about to do best and worst match.
We are.
The worst one is going to be harder to choose than the best.
I think the best one's probably pretty much a no-brainer. But yeah. We'll find out. Let's see if LT shows up on the worst.
Favorite match of the night.
All right, so favorite match of the night, I think, is going to be pretty easy. My favorite match of the night was Shawn Michaels and Diesel.
Shawn and Diesel. I don't think there's a contest.
There's not another
match worth.
No, like we literally, it's going to be harder to choose the other one. Like there's no discussion. There was one actual good match in the whole pay per view, and that was it. Hands down.
It's sad to say, and unfortunately, even that match wasn't great. It wasn't like, it was a better match than any other match on this card, but to the standards of Shawn Michaels and Diesel, I don't think it was. Well,
and you said it earlier, like the whole pay-per-view, it didn't feel like a Mania. Not even that.
No,
match.
None of
nothing it, about this felt like
none
WrestleMania.
None of the entrances felt Mania. No. None of the matches felt Mania. Like this just felt like this almost felt like a house show, which is what the first Mania was.
Yeah,
it was pretty much a house show.
I think the focus was all on the celebrity and trying to make it feel like a big deal that the NFL was there. Blah blah blah. And yeah, it just none of it felt like a Mania.
Celebrities don't make me feel like Mania, but you know this kind of helps realize they really started the trend of having a celebrity or
they did,
you know,
and it actually came from the fallout of the steroid trial because Vince thought this was a way to bring people back, bring the audiences back with
which,
the celebrity.
Like,
and
recently, we got Logan Paul. And
now celebrities are like legit getting in there.
Yeah,
like,
they're doing really good. And like our Bad Bunny was pretty
Bad Bunny
impressive
was decent.
Too.
The guy that plays Zero when he did his thing.
Yeah, Stephen Amell.
Yeah, he did good. Like, yeah, at least they're getting in there now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess having a celebrity match. But I think what they did is they realized having that to be the main event was a stupid idea.
Stupid idea, yeah.
You have that in the middle of the match, and you have him face Miz, who is just a journeyman of fantastic,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
You live and you learn, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess now we're going to find out
The worst. Yeah.
Worst match of the night.
All right, so worst match of the night could be any of them.
Yeah, any of them could be. I will say that I'm not going to give it to the main event because even though it shouldn't have been the main event, it was definitely not the worst match.
No, it wasn't. And maybe I'll surprise you with my pick. I don't know because, you know, that opener was a barn burner, I'll tell you. And I know he was in it, Bret Hart was in it, but Bret Hart, Bob Backlund is the worst match of the night to me. It was boring, it was confusing, and I love Piper, but I don't need to hear you ask 100 times if someone's quitting when they're not even in a fucking submission. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I've been kind of back and forth. Is it the Blue Brothers, or is it
Blaze loves the Blue Brothers, don't
Bob Backlund, and I think the Blue Brothers are just forgettable.
They are.
Bob Backlund is next level bad. In my eyes, he is not a good wrestler. He looks like a relic of a bygone era.
Which he was.
And I say that watching a pay-per-view from 1995,
right.
Which is
at that time, Bob Backlund was already a bygone era. Yeah.
Yeah, He looked better to be the manager of the Vaudevillains.
Man, I loved the Vaudevillains.
I loved the Vaudevillains. But they were good.
They were.
Bob Backlund, not so much.
Not so much, no.
But maybe I would like him more if he was one of the Vaudevillains.
Maybe.
I loved the Vaudevillains. They were a
great
cool tag team. I liked them.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you. I want to pick a different one, but Bat Pack was so
worst,
bad.
It was the worst.
It was one, the worst though. Of the match of night and in a night. And it was really fighting hard for that, because in a night where all the matches were pretty bad.
Could have been worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, damn it, at least you did something good, Bob. You got the worst match of the night. You earned that.
That is not something to be proud of at all. Bob Backlund, go take your chicken wing and get the hell out of here.
Go home and retire.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fuck Bob Backlund.
And Phillip Brooks.
Bob Backlund probably is so bored right now. He probably does listen to our podcast. We're probably going to get some hate mail.
You might get a cross-faced chicken wing, and you won't be laughing at them, will you?
He doesn't look very tall. I think you'd have to jump on my back to do
it. Like, sorry, Bob Backlund, you didn't look intimidating then, and you don't now either. Like,
no, I'm sure that I can take the 70, 80-year-old man. 90s, maybe. I don't know. I mean, think about it. This is 95. He had to have been in his 50s, probably.
I think he was already 100 then. I'm pretty sure he was already 195.
I guess he doesn't look super, super old. He just looks like he doesn't belong in 1995.
Yeah, no, he was definitely from the bygone era. That was for sure. He did, and you're talking an era where they had some of the worst gimmicks ever. And Bob just didn't fit in.
There wasn't a gimmick. Bob doesn't have a gimmick. He's just...
He was supposed to be the crazy, washed-up guy. Yeah.
Washed up. He got that part.
Yeah.
He got that part down. He was washed up. Shouldn't be here. Crazy? No. I don't look at that guy. I look at that guy as...
I still think he was seriously just brought in to get the title transition to lose to Diesel in 30 seconds. That's the reason he was...
In fairness, I guess he does look crazy enough in the fact that I would not want to trust him around my children.
No. No.
So, sure, I guess he sells the craziness.
Look at
the bright
side. This fucking Brett and Bob Backlund, it's over. That was the end of it. That was the trilogy match.
I hope he's over. It's done. Over.
Well, I don't think he was ever over. But you know what I mean? But whatever. We're through that part at least. So, that was easy enough. See, we agreed on both. That was... the worst and best match. We agreed on both.
Yeah, we agreed with... It was just bad.
It was.
WrestleMania! Rankings!
Alright, so our WrestleMania rankings. And just like I did with the Royal Rumble, I'm going to actually start. I'm going to go best to worst. So I'll start at the top with my favorite, down to my least favorite. And at number one, I have WrestleMania 3. At two, I have WrestleMania 8. At three, I have WrestleMania 7. And the next couple is kind of crazy, because at four, I have 4. At five, I have 5. And at six, I have 6. So in that section, they go in order. At number seven, I have WrestleMania 10. Number 8, I have WrestleMania 2. At number 9 is WrestleMania 9. This one I put at 10. And then WrestleMania, the original WrestleMania, is still my least favorite.
Well, my ranking goes like this. Number 1, my favorite WrestleMania so far is 8. Number 2 is WrestleMania 3. 3 is WrestleMania 2. 4th is WrestleMania 7. 5th, WrestleMania 10. 6th, WrestleMania 5. 7th, WrestleMania 9. 8th, WrestleMania 6. 9th, WrestleMania 4th, 10th, WrestleMania 1, and this is my least favorite, that Shawn Diesel match was not enough to save this from being the worst WrestleMania in my book.
I put it just right above the first one, but yeah, it could easily definitely be the worst one.
It was.
For sure. It was definitely a snooze fest. They'll get better eventually, we promise.
I hope you're right. I'm not super, I'm not...
My future self told me they get better eventually. That's what my...
I guess I should say...
Present day self said they're going to get better eventually.
I guess I know they do, because...
Look, 93 to 96 is the roughest years. Like, once we get through this year, then we start getting Triple H and Stone Cold and all those guys, and we're going to start really pumping up the action. So, it's going to get better. Promise.
True. That all definitely... Right.
So, that is our rankings. It looks like it's time to plug some pluggables.
Plug the pluggables. Well, you can find me on the Dragon Blazer Productions on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And you can also find me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro.
The man is everywhere. That's for sure.
Everywhere.
You can follow us on our Facebook page at the Boomer and Blaze Show. And then I am on the Twitter and the Insta at Boomer_Blaze. And we can add this now because Blaze loves hate mail. We have a Gmail now. And our Gmail is BoomerAndBlazeShow@gmail.com.
BoomerAndBlazeShow@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. So, with that being said, we hope to have you all back next week. We will actually be covering the very first In Your House.
I have mixed excitement for this. Yes. Because on one hand, hey, it's the first In Your House. This could be interesting. But on the other hand...
I remember a lot of shitty In Your Houses, is all I can say.
On the other hand, we're not in a golden era of wrestling right now.
No.
So I'm a little worried how good this is going to be, but...
We're going to chug through it. It's going to be okay. Hey, a little kid actually wins a fucking house, so at least there's that happens on the first pay-per-view.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's the first one, so maybe they try to pull out all the stops, but we just had a WrestleMania where they didn't pull any stops. No stops were had.
But I think it was all the stops they had, so
no
I don't
stops
know.
Were had for just, this WrestleMania.
It's got to get better eventually, right? We shall see.
Maybe.
Well, that's all we have. Until next time, I'm Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
Good night.
Enjoy What a Man. What a mighty, mighty good man.
Enjoy What a Man.
Well, Peacock didn't let him enjoy.
They didn't, which
no,
is weird.
So,
like,
yeah, so enjoy, I like it. Enjoy some salt and pepper.
I'm okay with it.
Pass the salt and pepper.
Pass the salt and pepper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
He's a mighty, mighty good man.
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Yeah.
I want to take a minute or two and give much respect to the man that's made a difference in my world. And although most men are hoes, he flows on the down low. Cause I never heard about him with another girl. But I don't sweat it because it's just pathetic to let it get me involved in that he said, she said crap. I know that ain't nobody perfect. I give props to those who deserve it. And believe me, y'all, he's worth it. So here's to the future, cause we got through the past. I finally found somebody that can make me laugh. You so crazy. I think I'm gonna have your baby.
Oh,
my man is cool like Barry and his voice got bass. A body like Arnold with a Denzel face. He's smart like a doctor with a real good rep. And when he comes home, he's relaxed with pep. He always got a gift for me every time I see him. A lot of snotty nose explains couldn't be him. He never ran a corny line once to me yet. So I give him stuff that he never forget. He keeps me on cloud nine just like a pimp. He's not a big wannabe, trying to be a pimp. He dresses like a dapper dumb, but even in jeans. He's a godsend original, the man of my dreams.
Yes, my man says he loves me. Never
Mama says he love me not, but I rock me good and touch me in the right time. The other guys that I had, they try to play all that match, but every time they tried, I said, that's not it. But not this man, he's got the right potion. Baby rubbed it down and made it smooth like lotion. Yeah, the ritual, highway to heaven. From 7 to 7, he's got me open like 7-Eleven. And yes, it's me that he's always choosing. With him, I'm never losing, and he knows that my name is He always has heavy conversation for the mind, which means a lot to me, cause the men are hard to find. And a fighter and a knocker out. Don't take him for no sucker, cause that's not what he's about. Every time I need him, he always got my back. Never disrespect, why? Cause his mama taught him that.
I got a good man.